broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Morning Glory.
And good morning. Let us pray on this Monday. Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you. We bless you. We adore you. We glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to Morning Glory here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is Monday, November 19th, and good morning to you. I'm Tom Price, live from the Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C. And we're joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Alisa Murphy, our producer, and our godly counsel today, Monsignor Charles Pope, and he leads us in prayer.
In your liturgy today, Lord, you speak to us from the book of Revelation and speak to us about you're showing your servant what must happen soon. And you sort of pull back the veil for us, Lord, and show the cosmic battle that goes on all around us. And we're swept up in it, and so are people we love. So please, Lord, keep us sober about this, not in a panic, but sober, so that that we can learn to trust you more and more each day in this great battle that we are engaged in. Oh, because only with you can we win through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Sober is a great word to be using right about now,
indeed.
I think.
Yeah. Indeed.
All right, Gloria, has Mother Angelica's thought for the day.
Even after healing and performing miracles, Jesus couldn't get 12 friends to stick by him. He wasn't afraid of failure. He took failure to the very end so that you may rise above it. You can't disappoint him. Just do what he asks of you right now. If you have God with you, you do not need assurance. You need zeal.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we're heading into this holiday week. It's a short work week for a lot of folks. Many families now together for Thanksgiving. We have a look at some of the headlines today. The desperate search still underway in Paradise, California for human remains. This is a week and a half after the fire swept through the town. We are now counting 80 people confirmed dead in wildfires in California. The missing list, hundreds of names long, that missing list. The Pope, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, prayed for the victims with the crowds gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Angelus prayer, and hundreds are still missing. This is just one of the worst, and it really began as a little bitty brush fire. I mean, really small.
Which is so shocking how quickly it went, and then you do hear people doing good things. I do remember reading the story. Now, this was kind of over the top for me, where Kanye West basically hired his own private firefighters to save his house, but
really?
Then he helped to rebuild his neighborhood. And you know, his house, I think, was worth like $60 million. Mm. But I didn't know private firemen were available for hire, and that he did so to save his house and help to rebuild his neighborhood, to me, is very interesting.
I guess it would be like a private security force on the police side. They're private firefighters. It's kind of a new segment to me.
I never knew that.
You know, I don't know if you guys saw this story. It was towards the end of last week about Alan Pierce, this nurse that had was leaving this hospital in Paradise. There's fire all the way around him, and there's cars in front of him and behind him, and they're all exploding because the flames are getting so tough. So he's literally sitting in his car texting his wife, thinking this is going to be the last message. Out of nowhere, this bulldozer comes and rocks one of the cars out of the way.
Oh, my goodness.
And instead of Alan Pierce, this brave nurse leaving, he goes back to the hospital to rescue more people.
Oh, my goodness.
Before making it out, his Toyota Tundra was melted, completely unrecognizable. Now, Toyota is actually giving him a free truck just for all of his efforts. But my question is, what about this bulldozer?
I know.
What about the guy driving the bulldozer? He deserves a reward as well.
You know, angels everywhere.
Yeah, yes. I got a friend request on Facebook over the weekend, and I don't always say yes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But this was from a woman who lives in Paradise, California. I thought, definitely, I am confirming you as a friend. Yeah. What else is going on? Senator Rand Paul says he has spoken with the president about offering asylum to Asia Bibi. Bibi, of course, the Catholic mother of five, Pakistan's Supreme Court last month acquitted her of blasphemy charges. She is still in hiding and fearing for her safety. I guess they just can't get her out.
Well, you know, that's the thing to me. I'm like, how is it that she cannot get out of the country? But the only thing I can think of is, like, the angry mobs. I know people are still there demanding that she be found. And I'm hoping that eventually she, her husband, and her five children can get out of there safely. I mean, she was found not guilty. She spent 8 years in prison behind this blasphemy charge. And the woman needs to live someplace else. I just think staying in her home country is just not tenable at this point.
It's a horrible situation because, you know, here's the government that says, yes, you're not guilty. And then the mob says, well, we don't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's frightening. It's frightening.
I think it's interesting, too, that Rand Paul is actually speaking to faith leaders as well to help with this, getting her out, as, you know, things don't move as quickly sometimes in the government.
A Chilean cardinal is stepping down. One of the Pope's advisors, Cardinal Francisco Javier Ruiz, is the retired Archbishop of Santiago. He served as a member of the Council of Nine Cardinals, known as the C9, for 5 years. The cardinal had been linked to the sex abuse crisis in Chile, so he has now stepped down. Sad news here. A Chinese bishop has been arrested. He is refusing to join the state's official church, which, of course, is controlled by the communist government. Bishop Peter Shizhao Zumin disappeared several days ago. Pope Francis appointed him in 2016. You know, that whole situation is going to take a long time to get resolved because there have been really two churches for so many years. There's the official, I mean, there is the Catholic Church. And then there is this government thing.
You know, the whole thing is very much depressing to me. I think of the loyal underground church members. And then, I mean, I just don't think the Chinese government can be trusted. They're not the church. I mean, and so they're picking bishops and knowing that even some of the bishops that the Chinese church has picked are openly living contrary to our teachings. Let's pray for the underground church in China, and let's pray for this particular bishop who is like, no way will I have anything to do with you. So it's just very much...
Well, speaking of living contrary to church teaching, according to new Census Bureau data, living together is now becoming more popular than marriage for young American couples. 15% of people in the 25 to 34 age group shared quarters with an unmarried partner this year. That is up from 12% in 2008. So from 12% up to 15%. Now, for those ages between 18 to 24, cohabitation is now more prevalent than marriage, with 9% living with an unmarried partner versus 7% living with a spouse. Some 50 years ago, only 0.1% of people between 18 and 24 were living together. Well, 0.1.
I mean, I think our culture has become so much more accepting of it. You see it all in television. I mean, it's expected now that, you know, before you get married, you're expected to live together, and you're expected to be given all the privileges as a girlfriend is now pretty much expected to give privileges as a wife. I remember causing problems when I got married because I wouldn't send one invitation to a couple that lived together. I addressed them individually, their own invitations, because I was like, you're not a married couple, so I'm going to treat you as individual persons.
Sure.
And I got a lot of flack for that. But I'm like, y'all ain't married, and I'm not sending your girlfriend something to treat her like she's your wife. No, sir. No, sir.
Yeah.
Well, now, cohabitation is a sin. This is a Catholic radio station. I'm just going to say it's a sin. Now, I said, well, we're not. I mean, some couples will say, well, you know, we're not, doing stuff. I said, well, okay, but it still gives scandal. And so again, we want to, you know, as I say, I've never had a couple that comes to marriage prep that I told them, oh, geez, there's something wrong with this. They said, oh, I've never heard of this before. They deep down, people know this is wrong.
So they know.
Well, anyway, I've got to keep it brief, but we'll just leave it at that. Fornication is a sin, and living together before marriage is wrong.
Well, thanks for pointing that out. We appreciate it. We're about 9 after the hour. This is very sad to me, having a whole lot of family in Australia. A leading Australian bridal magazine has had to shutter its door. They are closed now after deciding not to showcase a same-sex couple. It's been a year since the country changed its marriage laws. Christian founders of the bridal magazine White, Luke and Carla Burrell, said they did not feature gay weddings in their magazine as they had, quote, no desire to create a social, political, or legal war. So in a farewell blog on Saturday, the couple said they were targeted by activists because of their stance, and they were forced to pick a side. As a result, several advertisers withdrew their sponsorship, making the publication no longer economically viable. This is so wrong on so many different levels. And I just, my heart goes out to these folks who, you know, just wanted to have a bridal magazine, you know, promoting the sanctity of marriage. And here are the things that go with marriage. And so now it gets politicized and now it's closed.
Well, I think it just shows that any view that marriage is exclusively between a man and a woman ordered to the procreation of children will be drummed out of society by these people who want to redefine marriage. Because as long as we hold fast and true to that and we continue to have that witness, there will always be a question mark beside what they call marriage. And they cannot accept that. So it's not live and let live. It is you must submit. And we are not going to submit. And let's pray for people like that that want us to submit, and also for people in business who their governments won't accept, won't support.
And the magazine was around for 12 years. It wasn't something that just popped up. It really had built it into this, you know, show of love and beauty and the respect that comes with that. And for it to be torn down. And the law was just established last December. Yeah. So it hasn't even been a full year.
Yeah, rough.
The latest takedown.
Well, you know,
by the Borg, you will be assimilated.
That's right.
We got to hold fast, everybody.
Oh, man. Well, as the annual fall meeting of the U.S. bishops ended last week, some surprising, if not startling, news. Very glad to have you with us this morning, Monsignor Pope, to get your take on how things went, because the last time we spoke, it was just before the meeting got underway, just a little bit before the bomb dropped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that there were some light and some darkness. You know, the light is it was good to hear so many bishops speaking very clearly and about the accepting and acknowledging the credibility problem, and that we have to get better about teaching. And yet, on the other hand, as you say, the terrible bombshell that the Pope basically just in a 11th hour kind of a thing just said, nope, no votes, wait till you see me in February. And that created, I think, a terrible embarrassment for our bishops you know, it limits what they're able to do now to start rebuilding credibility with God's people. So I think that's very unfortunate, but in fact now, you know, I think the Pope owns this now, and I think we're going to have to turn our attention to him and kind of continue to plead with him and pray that he kind of gets it, because right now there seems to be, a lot of resistance by him and others in Rome. They kind of want to consign this to a tempest in a teapot here in America. The Americans are all worked up, you know, but... I think it's. I hope that that's my impressions are incorrect. But the Pope's behavior has been to be very standoffish and in a way stubborn, and even name calling. And I won't repeat all. I wrote all those things in my article, and as I say, I hope to remain charitable and lift him up in prayer, and let's pray for real light for him so that he can see the pain and the hurt that many people are dealing with here.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that. I mean, honestly, this reminds me of what you're saying, at least dealing with pain and hurt within the church. Reminds me of, you know, what happened with the founding of the National Black Catholic Congress. That's what I'm going to talk about for my Black Catholic factoid in the little bit of time that we have left, that there was something called the Colored Catholic Congress. It was established in 1889 by Daniel Rudd. It was a movement to bring together delegates from around the country, both to help in the evangelization of Black people, but also to map out plans to remove barriers blocking the success of Blacks. The National Black Catholic Congress had five congresses between 1889 and 1894. Then in 1987, they started having congresses every 5 years. So the whole purpose of the Congress is to basically evangelize, quote unquote, the Black race, because it was basically by and large ignored by the hierarchy of the Church of the United States of America. So you learned a little bit today about the National Black Catholic Congress, which is still in existence, and they're headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland.
Thanks, Gloria. Coming up in just a few minutes here, we'll have Daniel Bean of CatholicMom.com talking about ways to talk gratitude with your children on Thanksgiving.
Catholic from the start. because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. And Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
And it's 16 minutes past the hour on this Monday, November 19th, 2018. It's Monday of the 33rd week in Ordinary Time, or as I like to call it, it's the Monday of Get Ready for Thanksgiving Week.
Love it, yeah.
So I am Gloria Purvis, joined by Tom Price. Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel is Monsignor Charles Pope. I am looking to see if I had information on where you can get the Mother Angelica Perpetual Calendar. I'm just going to tell you, you can go to EWTNRC.com.
That is exactly right.
It's a great gift. You use it every single day, and it doesn't have the year on it. So all you do is just flip it and flip it and flip it and flip it. That's why they call it the perpetual calendar.
It is the coolest thing.
It never ends.
It's been in our kitchen for a couple of years now. We love it. We look at it every day, and it actually starts conversations with Adrienne and I. And I love that. So yeah, EWTNRC.com. Just look for, you know, could probably just type in calendar in the keyword there, and
right.
You'll get it.
And it's got some nice art on it too. Pictures of Hansville, the shrine down there,
the
stained glass windows. I mean, it's very lovely. So we're joined on the line by Danielle Bean. She's the brand manager for CatholicMom.com. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So for our listeners who are unfamiliar, can you tell them a little bit about what CatholicMom.com is?
Sure. It started out years ago. It was founded by Lisa Hendy over 18 years ago. It's a group blog, but so much more than that now. We've moved into social media. We have a podcast. We do Facebook Live. It's really a way for Catholic women to get together and support one another, encourage one another in their vocations to Catholic motherhood.
I see. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a Catholic mom, and I could use that. I could use some support. I've got one child, and I still need the support, even though I have one child. I would have liked more, but that's all I have. That's all God blessed us with. Well, look, I know that people who don't have homeschool have kids off this week. The homeschoolers have the kids with them all the time. But for those who have their kids in school outside the home, the kids are now home this week. How do you get them to know and experience why we have this holiday? More than just a history lesson, you know?
Right. Well, you know, I think it's really important for us to focus on this idea of gratitude. I mean, Thanksgiving technically is not a religious holiday, right?
Right.
Our whole country celebrates it together. So what a great opportunity to integrate your children's faith and their faith lives and beliefs with their everyday life and their friends and their friends at school and the things they're learning at school. And so I think it's a really great opportunity for us to just teach our children that this is an opportunity for us to pause together as a nation, reflect on the fact that we are so blessed. We are so blessed in so many ways, to reflect on our blessings and then to think about where those blessings come from and give thanks to our Creator for the many good things that we have every day of the year. And you might encourage your kids to do it in a formal way, maybe writing something down, but maybe even just on Thanksgiving Day, you could go around the table and just invite everybody to share what they're most grateful for in the last year.
How do you help the younger kids who can't yet write? What would be your suggestion for helping the younger kids who can't yet write be able to do something to express gratitude? Like if the other kids are writing, what would you have the little ones do?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they can always draw pictures. They can do craft projects. I mean, just go onto Pinterest, and I promise you will find 10,000 turkey crafts for your kids to do this time of year. A lot of fun to just do one simple project like that while talking about the things you're grateful for. I think the number one thing, sometimes we parents twist ourselves up in knots, and how can I teach my kids this, that, or the other thing? Well, you know what? You are teaching them every moment that you are living and breathing with them in your household. They're watching you. They're learning from you. So be aware of that, especially this holiday season, and exemplify for them an attitude of gratitude. Say out loud those things that you are thankful for. Be that example for them of gratefulness every day.
Danielle, I think you hit it right on the head when you said they're always watching. So you can't be two-faced, you can't be a hypocrite, and nor should you be. You know, so if you're going to live the life all the way. Don't get upset when somebody cuts you off in traffic. Just say, "Oh, well, I guess he's in a hurry." And your kids will pick up on that, won't they?
They absolutely will. You're right. And that's a daunting thing sometimes, thinking they're always watching. But it's 100% true. And I prefer to think of it as an encouragement, that it's an opportunity for us to teach our children every minute of every day. And if you mess up, and we will mess up, just know that you can fix that, because they're still watching, and they're going to watch you say you're sorry. They're going to watch you say out loud, I shouldn't have responded that way, or whatever it is that you want to correct. So be that example for your kids. I mean, you know, I always encourage parents to realize God made you the parents of these kids. If there's a lesson of gratitude you want to teach your kids, he's going to show you the exact right way to do that. And more often than not, it's going to involve your own example.
Yeah, Danielle, I want to also add, as Catholics, we need to link to the Mass, which is the great act of Thanksgiving. There's a Psalm 116 that says, what return could I ever make to the Lord for all the good he's done for me? So that's the question, and here comes the answer. The cup of salvation I will raise up and call on the name of the Lord. So I guess would you maybe have some ways to maybe link this for the kids, to the Mass that way as well?
For sure. I mean, look up in your parish and see if they're offering a Mass on Thanksgiving morning. Many of them are. Our parish is doing it and encouraging families to bring bread or wine that they're going to be enjoying later in the day to be blessed by the priest. If not in your parish, there might be one nearby. There's always a wonderful opportunity to do that. And teach your kids, too. This is why I love to teach my kids, that the word Eucharist means Thanksgiving. Talk about the meaning of that. Talk about how grateful we are for Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. What a beautiful gift you have to teach your kids in that.
Can I ask you something? You know, some of us might be eating with people who, let's just be honest, they have no idea about thankfulness to God. How might we, if we're, you know, breaking bread with people who just don't get the whole gratitude thing, how might you suggest we have maybe that conversation with them? Or how might we broach the topic?
Sure. I mean, that's difficult because, you know, at Thanksgiving and other holidays, we do find ourselves sharing around the table with people from all walks of life. Here comes everybody, right?
Yeah.
But I think gratitude offers a real opportunity for us to reach out to our brothers and sisters who might not share our faith, because they truly can connect to gratefulness. They may not be thinking they're grateful to a God just yet. They don't know that yet. But, you know, you can begin to talk about the things that you're grateful for, the things that you share in common. It really is a great place to begin because, like I said at the beginning, Thanksgiving is not actually a faith-based holiday. It's a secular holiday, and yet it's something that we can all connect to. And just lead them a little bit in that conversation towards sharing what you're thankful for and to whom you are thankful, and then allow them to share from their own perspective too. People will learn a lot, again, from your example and from your welcoming atmosphere. You're wanting to learn more about what their perspective is.
Well, Danielle Bean, thank you so much for joining Morning Glory. Danielle Bean is the brand manager for CatholicMom.com, and you can go visit CatholicMom.com to find out more about what they do there. And I'm interested in our listeners to send in to us what they do to express gratitude. We'd love your ideas. If you could send them to morningglory@ewtn.com, or you can probably even tweet us at EWTN, and you can also tag me at Gloria_Purvis. Love to get your thoughts on gratitude.
Thanks again, Danielle. We do appreciate it. 24 after the hour. Let's bring on Catholic Chatter now with Elisa Murphy.
You can, as Gloria already rambled through all the ways you can connect with us, I will not say it again.
Okay.
We have Louisa who wrote in with some ideas on ways to, some craft ideas. She says, all it takes is a hand and some paint.
Yeah.
And there you have your turkey.
Yep, that's true.
You put your hand, your child's hand in the paint, put it right on the sheet. There's a little turkey, do some coloring, and there you go. That's a great idea, Louisa. Also heard from Kimberly on how to cook your turkey for Thanksgiving, and she recommends barbecuing. And she says Weber.com has some great options for that. We've also heard from Leo, who is thankful, Monsignor, for your words and your recent blog, and he is praying for you and our church during this time.
Very good. Monsignor Charles Pope, of course, our godly counsel today. Here is his take on being ready.
Yeah, you know, yesterday's gospel, the Lord says, look, he says, heaven and earth are going to pass away. But my words will never pass away. So, now, by the way, just real quickly, heaven here doesn't mean the place where God lives. You know, the Jewish people, just like we, use the word heaven in different senses. In a way, there are three heavens. You know, the heaven where the birds fly and the clouds are, that's the first heaven. The second heaven is the stars and the planets. And the third heaven, that's where God is, the highest heaven, the third heaven. So that's never going to pass away. But the point is, look, we spend so much time on you know, the old saying, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We're all worked up. Well, I want to be in first class. I want to be in second. I don't want to be in second class. I certainly don't want to be back in steerage. But at the end of the day, the thing's going down, y'all.
Right.
That's right.
So, again, the main thing is to work on making sure that when the thing goes down, our life raft, who's Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord, is really, you know, we end up majoring in all the minors, and we maximize the minimum and minimize the maximum. And if it were just a question of being all worked up about worldly things and football and all this crazy stuff, that would be one thing. But the fact is that we don't then work on the one thing most necessary, which is to stay in a close, living, sanctifying, transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, you know, he's the only way we're going to get into heaven. And all the time, some people spent 4 or 5 hours yesterday watching football games. And that's about a bag full of air going up and down a field.
Full of air, true.
And billions of dollars were spent on this yesterday. And yet, no time to pray. No time to read scripture.
Well,
so, again, I'm not against football, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
Priorities. For the
priority in order. Mm-hmm.
Let's get it right. Coming up next, we'll have some more news for you, plus Gloria's musing and some more sound spiritual wisdom from our dear friend Monsignor Charles Pope. It's all coming up next on Morning Glory here on EWTN, 28 minutes after the hour.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
Glad you're with us. Tom Price here on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. It is Monday morning, November 19th. We are joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Alisa Murphy, our producer, and our godly counsel today, Monsignor Charles Pope. He leads us in prayer.
Lord, we need lots of patience, and we need lots of traveling mercies this week as we gathers families and others, and so keep us faithful and grateful. Keep us also patient with one another, and grant us those mercies we need to get back and forth in safety through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, this is a big, big, big travel week, isn't it? I think this is supposedly the biggest one of the year.
Yeah, we should. I hope people pray before they get in their cars, because with more people on the road, there's more, could be more chance for accidents. So please be praying for safe traveling, going and coming.
Mm-hmm. Some of the stories we're following today, Pope Francis on Sunday prayed for peace in the Central African Republic. You may not have heard about this. A massacre took place last week in a camp for displaced people in the Central African Republic. 2 priests were killed. More than 40 others were killed, dozens wounded in that attack on a Catholic mission, which was sheltering 20,000 refugees. Thousands of people were forced to flee when the mission was set on fire. Holy Father saying, let us pray for the dead and for the wounded. The Pope continued, let us pray that the violence will cease in that beloved country that is in great need of peace. Well, we got to pray during times of tragedy like this. This is just horrendous.
I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine being someplace and getting just raided by people that are trying to kill everybody. That's
awful. Well, marking World Day of the Poor, Pope Francis made a surprise visit to a free mobile health clinic in St. Peter's Square. The Holy Father met patients, doctors, and volunteers. It's a free clinic. It will serve anyone who needs health care. So here we are entering this week of Thanksgiving. Maybe there are some ways we can help those who are less fortunate than we are.
You know, definitely, I imagine the people had in the United States, we can be excessive with things. Maybe take some of your extra coats, jackets, mittens, because it is cold, and donate it to a homeless shelter or to a place that takes clothing to that'll give it out free of charge to those who are destitute. There are a lot of ways you can give of your abundance. Give of your abundance to help those who are in need. Maybe you can even, if you have time, you can volunteer at a soup kitchen or something on Thanksgiving Day. For those that can do it, there are a lot of ways. I mean, there's no limit to love when you want to be creative in giving it.
And all those people stuck in hospitals on the holiday as well. Mm-hmm.
Adrienne's been volunteering for years at a food pantry and at a clothing closet, distributing, for people who really are in need.
And I will say this, there might be some of you who cannot get out, who don't have extra, Maybe you could say a rosary for those less fortunate on Thanksgiving Day. Because I know not everybody can get around or has a lot of stuff, but prayers are very powerful.
Yeah. 33 after now, the United States fails to weaken references to sexual and reproductive health rights, in quotes, in a United Nations resolution. That language was part of a measure to end forced child marriages. The Trump administration wanted to add the phrase in accordance with national laws. China and many Islamic countries supported the White House's proposal. Well, the United States is standing alone, trying to stop some of the Western indoctrination.
You know, our whole view coming out of these Western countries on sexual and reproductive health rights, these are code words for abortion. These are code words for a lot of, you know, unnatural sexual acts. Let's be honest about it. And I'm glad that this administration is at least trying to roll it back, but it seems like it's been on a roll for such a long time that, you know, it's hard to get that, you know, removed.
You know, when I was stuck on a flight last week going down to the radio conference, I was sitting next to this woman who was typing furiously on her laptop. I can't help it. I'm trying to read what she's writing. Mm-hmm. And she worked in public health. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole piece she was writing on, you know, the problems in the Philippines. Because no one will take contraception because of the strong Catholic population that lives there.
Yeah.
And that was part of their problem.
Right.
Which really shows kind of this indoctrination, like we have all the right answers.
Right.
And we're going to move in.
How patronizing. Yes. It's patronizing and how we could talk about, oh, we respect people's differences as long as the differences agree with me. You know?
Yeah. She wrote Catholic and I thought, oh, maybe I'll talk to her. And then I'm like, oh, no, she's on the other side here.
Girl, this is why I don't like that they make you take your holy water out of you. Can't take holy water through on the plane with you, because I would have doused her. With some holy water. They had a woman arrested on plane for dousing passenger holy water.
No, I just spilled it by accident.
Yeah, right. It was me. But well, it's very disappointing. But that's the world we are in now.
One of the goofy stories that I've been following here a little bit, a judge rules CNN's Jim Acosta is now allowed back at the White House, at least temporarily. Acosta says he's pleased by the decision. Now, you might remember this. He lost his press pass after clashing with the president in a news conference. The White House says it's working on new rules to make sure that there is fair and orderly question and answer sessions. I believe it was Ronald Reagan. Because up until Reagan, everybody was just shouting out questions, and he said, one at a time. And it's been, you know, so that introduced that layer of civility here, but then Acosta comes along, and, you know, he's just like all about the agenda, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't really follow Jim Acosta much. I just saw a snippet of him, I guess, having a tug of war, so to speak, a quick tug of war with the White House female who was an aide. I guess she was an intern, and she got up because it was like, okay, your time's up at the mic, and he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And so that seemed to be what sort of sparked this, we're cutting off your press pass, his press access.
And Trump had answered the question, but of course, as some reporters do, they ask a loaded question that really is their own opinion, trying to inject it into what's being said. But the greatest thing I thought that came out of this was last week when he didn't have a press pass, and someone remarked that here's Jim Acosta reporting from Acosta Street.
Oh, instead of across the street.
That's funny.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, here we are. Here now, a little bit of interesting news. Next month, the church will beatified 19 Algerian martyrs. Have you been following this?
Yes.
The leader of the church in Algiers says they are models for present-day Catholics. Archbishop Pierre Claverie was killed with 18 others back in the 1990s. Beatification puts them just a step away from sainthood. The country's current archbishop says it is a grace for Algeria, which is 99% Muslim. He urges the faithful to follow the same path of witnesses as the martyrs. So, wow. Beautiful witness of martyrs for all of us, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think I don't think we understand how brave a person is or how much they love, at least I would think. We don't understand that there are some people who literally, their lives are at risk because of where they live, because they believe in Christ and their targets. And I remember these guys were beheaded, right? Weren't they? They had their or somebody they or slit their throats, I think, is how it was. I remember that. It was terrible. Something.
Mm-hmm. Just awful. All right, that brings us to 38 minutes after the hour time now for Morning Glory's Musing.
So I, dear friends that listen to the show, I am constantly, seem like, in discussions about abortion with various people on social media. One is a long-term friend of mine. We've known each other for over 20 years. Another is a complete stranger who happened to ask, the stranger asked me, why do you call pro-choice people pro-abortion? And I said, because it's not the word choice that matters, it's the object of the choice. And what you all choose to, you know, promote is abortion. So we call you pro-abortion. And then the conversation sort of fell to pieces from there, because then I realized the woman's mind was very fractured around the understanding of pregnancy, the human body, what the word autonomy means, what the word choice means. And same thing for my girlfriend. She's brilliant. My girlfriend's a very educated woman, but it appears very much indoctrinated by, you know, abortion ideology. She's a lawyer, went to a very top-tier Ivy League law school, just brilliant woman. But when it comes to the matter of abortion, her mind cannot see that the child has any rights. In fact, she said choice is the greatest help to children. And it's dawning on me now that these people use abstractions to get away from dealing with what abortion is. So they'll use words like choice. They'll use words like autonomy. And then when you start to talk more and more with them about abortion, I realize it's their whole understanding of the female, it's their whole understanding of what it is to be a woman that's flawed. Somehow in their understanding, because a woman's body, the natural outcome of a functioning reproductive system for a woman, how it's supposed to work, is that it bears a new life. Mm-hmm. That new life is seen as a usurper. That the female reproductive system works as it is, that is seen as an injustice. Now I'm like, our bodies working just as they're made to work is an injustice? When you set it up like that, that the body working as it is an injustice, and that the child is quote unquote using, you know, using the woman unjustly by just being, you realize that there's a problem with their understanding of nature. And when they have a problem with nature and how nature works, and they see nature as something unjust, really what they're saying is God was wrong. They're really saying, Lord, I have to rebel against how you made woman because I don't agree with it. And to me, that's where we see the roots of the diabolical. There's no logical discussion to be had with some of these people. That you see the block and talk with them. And I know my girlfriend, I love her. She's a good person. But boy, blinded by this abortion ideology. And I realize it's a diabolical foothold that's in the mind that sort of breaks, the logic stops. Like, how could you say the word choice when you mean abortion? How could you say autonomy when you mean killing the body of the child, which is completely separate from the mother? And it's simply because of these abstractions and language and also hiding behind legalities. I had one woman tell me online that because the tax code doesn't recognize the unborn child as a child, we cannot refer to it as a child. And so I posted the meaning of the word child as I found it in the Webster's Dictionary, because I'm like, if you don't know the meaning of the word child, you can't really have a discussion on abortion. And Webster's Dictionary makes it clear that child also means unborn child. So I'm finding that people actually have a problem with how women are made, which means they have a problem with God themselves. And sometimes I need to recognize, instead of conversation, I need to do more prayer and fasting. Just my own, because it's so frustrating, actually, to see this kind of illogical playing with words to get around what's real.
It's like a disconnect the size of the Grand Canyon.
Yes, yes. And I don't want to attribute negative intentions to these people. I'm just saying that I honestly believe they have been hoodwinked and bought hook, line, and sinker into this terrible abortion ideology, which at its core is anti-God, is anti-nature, and it's anti-woman.
Monsignor?
Yeah, you know, I if you were to take this argument, well, I'm pro-choice, and just take the word abortion out and put in the word slavery,
well,
or, you know, stealing, or, you know, the idea is, as you point out, something is known by its object. The choice to do what? Choice to do what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, this is one of those, you know, as I say, we tried to take the whole abortion debate and make it very abstract.
Yes.
And it's not. There's a child that's losing his or her life. And this is a terrible thing. Now, the other thing is, as you point out, the whole medical community, which knows better, but treats pregnancy as if it were a disease, or fertility as if it were a disease. So that so many women struggle, you know, to find good OBGYN who don't look at them like, oh, my gosh, you're fertile. We got to do something about that. Fertility is a terrible disease. Take all these pills. Shut down your entire endocrine system. And, of course, this leads to other medical issues and so on. It's like thought just stops when it comes to this issue.
Well, what I'm also noticing is this idea that there has to be some primacy and right when it comes to the mother versus the child. The both and seems to escape people, that we can do both. But they don't even want to discuss it. It's like they somehow believe that they are going to actually lose something if the child gains rights equal to that of her mother and father. And it's just been a very, I've realized it's an ugly selfishness involved. It's that I have to have my hand on what I think can make me prosper. And if that means my child does not live simply because I say so, then how can this be about equality? How can this really be about justice when it's based on the oppression of the unborn?
Amen.
Wow. Thank you for that. Coming up next, Jim Kefnar of Cross Catholic Outreach is going to be joining us to discuss the Box of Joy program. Do you know what that is? It helps those in need this holiday season. We've been talking about that a lot this morning. So that's coming up next, Jim Kefnar here on Morning Glory. Do stay with us.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
14 till the top of the hour. I want to tell you a little bit about the National Catholic Register. It is America's most trusted Catholic news source with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. You can try out 6 free issues with our compliments, and if you like it, subscribe later on at a 35% savings off the newsstand price. So to get started, visit ncregister.com today, ncregister.com. I'm Tom Price here along with Gloria Purvis and Monsignor Charles Pope and our producer, Elisa Murphy. Right now, joined by Jim Kefnar. He is the president of Cross Catholic Outreach. How are you, Jim?
Very good, Tom. Good to talk to you this morning.
Great talking with you. Let's unpack, if you would, please, pardon the pun, let's unpack the Box of Joy. Tell us about the Box of Joy program.
This is a program that we've now initiated about 4 years ago, and it allows parents and children in the U.S. to pack a box of Christmas presents, two box-sized box of Christmas presents, for an extremely poor child overseas. And this year we're expecting to exceed 70,000 boxes of joy based upon all the feedback we've gotten from various churches and schools and Knights of Columbus groups and all sorts of groups have been packing them and shipping them into us. We haven't counted them all yet, but it looks like it's going to be well over 70,000.
Wow. So the family packs the box, sends it to you, and then you send it on to the country of the family in need. Is that right?
That's right. This year we've added El Salvador. In the past, we've shipped to Guatemala, Haiti, Dominican Republic, and Nicaragua. And now the fifth country we've added is El Salvador. And I've been along on several of these countries when we've passed them out in the past. And needless to say, the children are really thrilled.
Sure.
I've talked to the pastors and to the nuns in the schools and the teachers, and I've asked them, did any of these kids ever receive a Christmas gift? And they all tell me, no, that would just never happen. They're just too poor. Their families couldn't possibly do this. So it's a great experience for the kids. I think their parents are delighted. And it's a great experience, I think, for families in the U.S. It's a way to help educate your children about the needs of the poor overseas.
Jim, I'm just curious. I know going through certain countries, you know, sometimes they open the mail or open things and things somehow get lost or claimed by somebody else. So what is the process for making sure that the boxes get there intact to the kids?
Well, we receive all the boxes that are prepared in the U.S. at our warehouse in Miami. We have hundreds of volunteers who come in. They're already working now to open every box, examine what's in it, take out anything inappropriate, you know, like toy guns and stuff, and chocolates, which will melt into a pulp, and put in other things. Then they're sealed up, packaged, put in a container, shipped overseas to one of our partners, like in Guatemala. The Diocese of Santa Rosa de Lima distributes them.
Okay.
You know, in Haiti, it's several Catholic schools that distribute throughout Haiti, not just to their own students, but to all the children in the town. So it's all going through various Catholic ministries that we already are working with, already supporting their efforts to help the poor. This is just another way that they can be connected to families in the U.S. that care about them.
That's great. Now, give us an example of what a family might pack into one of these boxes. What are some popular items that would go into the box?
Well, we recommend certain items because we know they're popular with the kids who get it.
Mm-hmm.
Practical things, pens, pencils, crayons, soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, hair comb, hair bows, things like that. But also fun things. I've seen deflated soccer balls with little pumps. I've seen dolls for the girls. I've seen jump ropes and toy cars and balls, and it's just amazing whatever they come up with. And if they take their kids out, you know, and they say, well, let's pack a box for a 7 to 9 year old girl, and they've got a 7 to 9 year old girl, you can bet that she'll have some opinions of what to put in that box that her counterpart overseas is going to love.
I want to ask also, Jim, you know, that there has to be some cultural adjustments and sensitivities because, you know, even like an electronic toy, maybe there's no power, you know, I mean, so you have to, I guess, help people to give gifts that are really going to be able to be used and appreciated and not even become perhaps something that will be quickly stolen or, you know, so again, all of those, I guess, cultural things you help people to sort of see, or how do you work with that?
Yeah, you're right about, especially about anything battery operated. Where are they going to get batteries?
Yeah,
I mean, we've been at schools, you know, in Belize and in Haiti where they don't even have pencils. The kids actually share a pencil. Their parents can't even afford a pencil. So you can imagine that a battery is not the kind of thing that they would have access to. So if you send them a battery-powered toy car, once the battery's dead, it's unlikely that they'll get new batteries. So we recommend things that, you know, that the kids can play with that don't rely upon electronics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, it's not too late for families to get involved in the program, right?
No, it's not too late. If they go to our website, boxofjoy.org, they can see ways they can still participate. I mean, they could still pack a box now and just ship it to us in Miami, and we'll make sure it gets on the containers that goes overseas. And we're happy to receive them all the way up to the 23rd of December.
So wow.
Not
all
too
right.
late. Or they can do it at what we call Create a Box Online. That is, you pick the child and girl or boy in the age group and just pay for the cost of the things that are going to go in the box, and we'll pack it for you. So that's one way that people can participate who, you know, aren't able to ship it to us.
That might be very handy for people who are super busy toward the end of the year. You could just, let you folks do all the heavy lifting, right?
Yeah.
Very good.
You know, maybe it's the first they've heard about it, and that's the only way to participate this year, but then that puts the idea in their mind, well, next year, let's get in early and pack our own box.
Sounds like a plan. Boxofjoy.org is the website, boxofjoy.org. Jim Kavner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Tom. God bless you all.
Thank you. 7 minutes till the top of the hour. Let's bring back Elisa Murphy with Catholic Chatter.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly anytime, morningglory@EWTN.com. We've heard from Carol this morning who says she is going to be attending one of the sessions with her nieces, nephews, and her daughter and her husband to wrap some of these boxes of joy. So it's very good news. Many parishes across the nation are participating. We've also heard from JR regarding how to carry that whole holy water on a plane. He has some unique ideas. You found a cool article, one of them being in a contact lens case.
Yes.
Ooh.
And of course, don't forget, you could carry salt.
Well, could do that. But he reminded me that there's less than 3 ounces liquid you can carry on. Thank you, JR, for that. He says, squeezable salad dressing bottles, the contact lens case, and small soy sauce bottles. There I love go. Our listeners. They are so on the money and smart.
So creative.
JR, God bless you. And I hope you have bail money for me when I get arrested for sprinkling holy water on somebody, because I'm carrying it with me now.
Good job. Monsignor Charles Pope has a quick look now at today's gospel.
Yeah, it's the familiar gospel of the blind man asking to see. And the Lord asked a strange question. What do you want me to do for you? He asked this blind man. But, you know, as I said before, I think in a different context, most people just want relief, but it takes courage to be healed. And this whole man's life is going to, his whole life is going to change. Mm. And so the Lord is respectful. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, allow that question, though, just the question, to become detached from the gospel. How would you answer the question right now if the Lord just asked you, what do you want me to do for you? And you'd be surprised how hard it is for us to answer that question, and to answer it well is even harder. So, mm-hmm. because again, yeah. sometimes we're going to ask for things that, frankly, aren't the best thing that we really need.
Right.
But again, all of those just let that question stay with you today. Let the Lord say, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I have a blog post up from some years ago, 100 questions that Jesus asked and you must answer. And you can go there and find that on my blog.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Oh, that might be a good thing that we can play one day. 100 questions.
Blog.adw.org. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. Yes. All right, Elisa, who's on tomorrow's show?
You know, many people lost loved ones this year. We're going to talk about how to deal with grief this holiday season when Jeannie Ewing will be with us and Father Edward Looney will be along.
Sounds like a plan. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Monsignor Pope, for all that you bring to our program.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Until tomorrow, then, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
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 Until tomorrow, then, on behalf of Monsignor Charles Pope, Elisa Murphy, and Gloria Purvis, I'm Tom Price. We hope that you have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow here on EWTN's Morning Glory. Have a blessed day.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift.